on Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning. I'm Jeff, your host today. This is The People Speak on Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Talking today with 58th District Senator Terry Bryan. Senator, how are you doing?
I'm well, Jeff. Thanks for asking. I am recently recovered from COVID, so to be able to say I'm doing well is a good thing this morning.
Definitely. Yeah. And ahead of the weather they keep talking about.
So. Right. And, you know, we're passing petitions right now, and it's a weird time to be passing petitions. We're usually passing them when it's warm. And, in fact, I think it was 100 degrees 2 years ago when I was passing petitions, and now I'm a little bit worried I didn't put my boots in the car.
The whole election cycle kind of out of whack, for lack of a better word, with the change in the primary date from March to June.
Yeah, it's a weird timing this year.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more with 58th District Senator Terry Bryant on The People Speak right after this. And welcome back. It's 9:34. Again, our guest today is Senator Terry Bryant. It's a new year now. Things are going. I think the hot topic right now is criminal justice reform.
It is. Listeners, everybody out there may remember that there was something passed in truly the 11th hour of the 101st General Assembly, so the last General Assembly. Mm-hmm. It was passed at 11 o'clock on the morning of the last day of that session. So everyone was sworn in at noon into the 102nd General Assembly. Mm-hmm. They passed it at 11 o'clock just prior to that happening. And, you know, it's funny. You put a certain name on something and you think, you know, the folks who are trying to pass it think they've wrapped it all up in, you know, in Christmas paper and it's a good thing. The safety tax is anything but safety for people. In fact, what it's caused is what we're seeing in the city of Chicago right now, where we have record number of murders going on. You may also know that they just actually, I think the news came out yesterday or early this morning that we've had the largest number, I think in history, of cops who were killed on purpose because they're cops. That's what the safety bill has brought us. You know, it includes things like what sounds good, which is body cams for cops, but there was no funding for them. So what that means is our local police departments have to try to come up with how they're going to fund the cameras. A lot of them have figured out how they're going to actually, because there's some grants to actually fund the purchase of the cameras, but then you have to keep all of that video available all the way up until that case has run its complete course. Mm-hmm. So you could have to hold that stuff for 10 or 20 years. So those are some pretty important issues right now. And there's the bigger stuff on criminal justice reform, which is we just found out yesterday that there are right now 100 individuals in the city of Chicago who are out on electronic detention who were arrested for murder. So we have 100 people in the city of Chicago alone, so that's not the whole rest of the state, mm-hmm. who are on electronic monitoring, all while the folks that pushed the Safety Act are still pushing for zero bail and to get rid of electronic monitoring. And I know, you know, a lot of your listeners that work for the Department of Corrections or for mental health, and I will tell you something bad is going on in the Department of Corrections right now. On a daily basis, I'm getting phone calls from staff talking about the fact that drugs are rampant within the Department of Corrections right now, and cell phones. So they're finding cell phones and they're finding drugs, including ecstasy and fentanyl, inside facilities within the Department of Corrections, and it's facilities in our own region right here. So it's statewide, but I know that those folks that are listening who work at Menard or Pinckneyville or Big Muddy or even down at Vienna or up at Southwestern who are listening right now know exactly what I'm talking about. Those staff are frustrated because under the standards of conduct rules, they really can't talk to the media about it, but I can. So I'm going to be right. their voice in this right now. I have made multiple calls to the Department of Corrections to ask them for an explanation of how the drugs are getting in. I believe that a lot of it is coming in through the mail. They have an opportunity right now in the Department of Corrections to stop some of this by scanning the mail that's coming in so that the inmates, they get it like on an iPad, not mm-hmm. like we're familiar with, but an iPad that lets them read their mail, and they never touch the mail. That immediately stops the fentanyl coming in and a lot of the other stuff that we're seeing. So those are the big ticket items for this region, and we need to get a hold of them.
I totally understand what you're saying. 20 to 30 years ago, these type of issues were totally unheard of in state prisons.
You know, I'm retired from corrections, and I've been out for 7 years, and I can tell you as an administrator with Department of Corrections, if we found one cell phone in a 3-year period, bells and whistles will go off, and you know, and it was a real problem.
Right.
Now it's nothing to find 6, 7, 8 cell phones in one shakedown. You know, so I think that's something that Governor Pritzker needs to be addressing, Director Jeffries needs to be addressing, and the wardens at these facilities need to be addressing. And I want some answers mm-hmm. from the Pritzker administration.
This whole issue with law enforcement in general. I have a degree in criminal justice, who we were talking about off air here just a few moments ago. I've worked in the field in the past in different aspects of it. I mean, it's never been a safe job being a police
right.
officer, but it's even more dangerous these days. And you just, a lot of it is because of the things that have been, the actions that have been taken by the government, you know, as far as law enforcement.
Well, one of the things under the Safety Act is, I don't remember the exact wording on it, so I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. But basically, if you can send a mental health professional out on a call instead of a police officer, that's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw a quote, you know, we had two officers shot and killed in this state within a 24-hour period. An officer, up far north of here. And then, of course, we had one from Wayne County that was actually shot multiple times and then dragged into a ditch and left. And he stopped to help a motorist in distress. The other officer from up north, she actually went on a call with her partner on a barking dog call at a motel. And not only was she shot first in the shoulder, the person chased her down the hotel lobby and then shot her after she was begging for her life. Well, so in those two cases, I saw a quote from an officer that said, "We don't know if we should pull out our firearm and then get fired for pulling out our firearm, if we should pull out a pencil and get shot because we pulled out a pencil instead of a firearm."
Mm-hmm.
So it's confusing for those who are in law enforcement right now. Not only how, you know, they're there to protect us. How do they protect us and at the same time go home alive at the end of the day? Now, I was a
right.
dietary manager, so I believe I worked in one of the most dangerous areas of a prison. But I wasn't a correctional officer. In my job, I wanted to do two things. I wanted no one to get sick from my food, of course, but at the same time, I wanted to go home alive at the end of the day, and one of my staff to go home alive at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
That's what everyone in corrections and everyone out on the street in law enforcement wants to do. Protect you and go home alive at the end of the day.
What you're saying is exactly what I've been saying all along, that the way the law is being rewritten, police officers are put at a greater risk. I mean, officers are trained to take whatever action is necessary to stop a threat, either to themselves or to someone else or to the general public. Most officers will resort to their firearm only in situations where nothing else is going to stop that threat. And in those type of situations, it requires an immediate action on the part of the officer, which under the way things are being viewed now by the legal system, puts the officer at a disadvantage. Because rather than reacting immediately to protect themselves or the general public, the officer has to consider the repercussions of pulling their firearm and firing at a suspect. Even if they're fully justified in doing so, it's going to end up a long, drawn-out affair which ultimately could end up costing them their jobs and even their freedom. And what's even worse is that split second of hesitation on the part of the officer could cost them their lives and possibly even the lives of innocent people.
You know, my wheelhouse is corrections, right? So let me give you one that'll scare the heck out of everybody out there. So under the new Safety Act, you cannot shoot someone who is going over the fence at a prison or over the wall at a prison if there's the possibility that you could capture them later. So I know for a fact at Pinckneyville that there is an inmate there who was at the fence, on the fence, trying to go over the fence, and they could not shoot at him. Now, they did get the guy, but in looking at it, I found out that this was his second attempt to do this. I believe the first one was at a different institution, and yet, I mean, this guy had mental health issues, mm-hmm. So I'm not advocating just shoot everybody, but here's where it gets a little bit dicey. In his record, he was not listed as an escape risk. So he'd already had an attempted escape. In this case, he was first charged with attempted escape, but then by the time it came back from Springfield, it had been reduced to unauthorized movement. And so nowhere in his record is he an escape risk. So the folks who are inside the institution who are tasked with keeping dangerous individuals from getting out into the community and threatening you or them, right, their hands are tied as well. So when the person gets out, so let's suppose, say at Pinckneyville, they got to go over two fences. Let's suppose they get over both of those fences and razor wire. Or at Menard, they get over the wall. And now they're out. Mm-hmm. Who then becomes responsible for capturing them? Then we go to the sworn law enforcement officers that are out there, in addition to Department of Corrections. So everybody in the community is at risk because of what they've called the Safety Act. There's no part of the Safety Act that makes people more safe. What it does is it creates criminals out of victims and creates victims out of criminals. Mm-hmm. So the people who should be locked up are the ones that are getting free. And, you know, every time that we had any kind of hearing on that particular act, we would ask for victims to be brought in. Let's hear from the victims. Let's hear from the victims' rights organizations. And the folks they brought in were the families of the convicted murderer, the families of the convicted armed robber. And then they talked about how their life had been damaged by the person who committed the murder or the armed robbery or so forth. I do believe that those individuals are victims, but they're not the same kind of a victim as the mom of a kid who gets murdered by the guy that's locked up.
Exactly.
You know, so we're allowing the doors to be open, the criminals to get out, the perpetrators of crimes to be called victims, and the victims of crimes to be painted as individuals who just don't care about anyone, or people like me who want to keep the criminals locked up and call a victim, they want to make me the criminal in all of this. So I think we're just going to have to keep fighting to make sure that people are safe. My job, you know, I'm a Republican, so I'm in a super minority, and folks constantly ask, well, how can you remain relevant if you're in a super minority? Well, the relevance comes from speaking truth. You know, I would bet you that most of the people who are listening right now, unless they have someone who works in the Department of Corrections as a family member, they're not hearing this stuff. So part of my job as your senator is to make sure that we expose these kind of injustices and then make sure that we're holding the people who voted for it, their feet to the fire. And I got to tell you, I don't want to be super partisan. I try not to be. Mm-hmm. But there was not one Republican vote on the Safety Act. And now we have Chris Welch, the new Speaker of the House, who yesterday said that they're going to unfold a whole bunch of new law enforcement initiatives. Well, he was the 60th vote to pass the safety tax over in the first place. Mm-hmm. And my first question to him would be, and it's already been asked of him, is, well, what about no cash bail? Well, he said, no, we're not going to deal with the no cash bail. Really? The old law said that if you committed a crime and you went in before a judge, you had to make a case for why you should be allowed out on bail. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then the judge would look at that and say, yeah, that makes sense. We're going to, you know, maybe they'd make the bail real high, maybe they'd make the bail real low. Now the law says that the prosecutor has to make a case for why you should have to have bail. So it's totally flipped. Everything is in favor of this person who has violated the law as opposed to the folks we're trying to keep safe. And the Speaker of the House and the president of the Senate, Don Harmon, They cannot hide behind whatever new legislation that they put forward in this General Assembly. They cannot hide behind their vote in the 101st General Assembly because they both voted for it, and they've got to answer to that.
I'll tell you what, we're getting into the commercial break here. Let's go ahead and throw that in real quick, and we'll come back and talk some more with Terry Bryant here on The People Speak right after this. And welcome back. This is The People Speak. Again, I'm Jeff, and we're talking with Senator Terry Bryant. Another issue that's got people up in the air is the issue with FOID and CCL cards.
Yeah, so FOID and CCL. I'm going to give some good news first, and then we'll and then everybody's head's going to explode on this issue. The good news is I think the state police have been hearing us loud and clear about the fact that they've got to do something to help people navigate through the system a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
So they've put in some kiosks at different sites there. So there is a site in DuQuoin at the, I think that's District 9, right across from the DuQuoin Fairgrounds. There's a kiosk there. And so you can kind of go in for those folks who don't have a laptop or a computer, or you've been having trouble. There's some good folks that are there that'll help you navigate through that kiosk. You can also come to my office in Murfreesboro on Industrial Park Road there. Or I'm going to tell folks now before I go into some of the problems that people have been having, we can help you. So if you call 618-684-1100, that's my office in Murfreesboro, 618-684-1100, Kathy will help you get connected with the folks that can help you right now. So we have people, most people's stuff who are applying right now, their stuff's moving pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're one of those folks that applied 18 months, 12 months ago, you've probably been waiting 12 to 18 months for your FOID card.
I'll tell you, it took me 18 months
to
get mine.
Yes, and that's inexcusable. So part of what led up to that was the legislature swept the funds to take care of those for 2 years in a row, before the pandemic started. So in defense of why they didn't have the people there, that was the legislature's fault, that money got swept. The money's there now. They've been hiring people to kind of work through those issues. But there's this lawsuit going on from the Illinois State Rifle Association that we really strongly believe has legs. And that would totally get rid of the FOID card. So state police, for whatever reasons, do not want to get rid of the FOID card. They were worried that if they were not granting FOID cards in a timely manner, that maybe the Illinois State Rifle Association would win because the state police were violating people's Second Amendments. Now, I think the FOID card violates people's Second Amendment in general, and I'd like to get rid of it totally. But while we have it, we have to try to make it at least navigable for people. So they were pushing aside the FOID and CCL cards of people that fell under that executive order that the governor has issued an executive order that says your FOID card is still valid even if it expired for 18 months and after that executive order ends. So if you've got a FOID or CCL that's expired, as long as you have applied to get it renewed, it's still valid unless you try to go buy a firearm with an FFL dealer or some select places that won't sell you ammunition. So in reality, it's very frustrating. I know it's frustrating to everyone. So all I can do right now is tell you my office will help you. So call that 618-684-1100. Ask for Kathy. Kathy's going to answer the phone anyway.
Okay.
And we will help you navigate that. Or you can go over to DuQuoin to where the kiosk is. I'm not aware of another one down here, but I know there's a kiosk at the DuQuoin State Police Headquarters. And they'll help you as well. But we're happy to try to help navigate you. You shouldn't be waiting more than 2 to 3 weeks to get it. If you've been waiting longer than that, call our office and we'll help you.
Well, actually, it looks like we're out of time.
But, that's too bad. We got a lot of stuff to talk about.
I know. We'll have to catch up with that next month too. But again, it was good to have you on, and we'll look forward to talking to you on the second Friday of
February. Of each month. Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Hey, tell folks, too, remember to keep an eye on what's going on with Speaker Madigan. That hasn't gone away. He's going to court. It's coming up in the next couple of months.
All right, Senator Terry Bryant here on The People Speak this morning. That'll wrap things up. I'm Jeff. We will talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.